Welcome to the One Small Change, and I'm thrilled that you're here with me, and we're going to embark on a journey of exploration and transformation. I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring almost 30 years of entrepreneurial experience, and I have a passion for discovering how you can grow through the power of seemingly small change. And I want to make sure that you know the things that are going on in this journey, and that you can have the inspiration to keep exploring as well. This week, we are talking with the amazing Martin Salama. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm great, Yvonne. I'm excited to be here with you. Thank you for having me on your show.
I am so excited. And one of the things you're going to share is how a small or unexpected change or decision sparked a remarkable transformation and the growth in the profession and what you do now. So tell us more about your small change, which typically in retrospect never seems small, and what the impact it had on you.
Oh my God, I could pick so many. But I won't go back to my childhood one. I do have one from my childhood, but I'll go to one that happened basically to everybody, to most everybody in 2008. Okay. So it wasn't small at the time either, but this is one that shaped who I am today, I would say. The events of what happened though during that time shaped me today. So in the summer of 2008, my wife and I were working on a project for 5 years to build a multi-million dollar health club and tennis center in New Jersey by the Jersey Shore. And it took us 5 years because, you got to go through all of the things you can think of, find the land, do a feasibility study, architecture, engineers, then go to the city to get the approvals. And that was the longest part of all, getting the approvals. And during this time, we'd go to the bank and they're like, "We love this project. We can't wait for it to start. We'll fund it when it's time." Fantastic. So in the summer of 2008, we finally get all the approvals, go to the bank, and they're like, "Yeah, we're not lending right now." I'm like, "What happened to we'll fund it whenever it's ready?" The last few years, 2005, 6, 7, they were giving money away. Almost like when you go to Costco and the women on the end of the aisle are handing you samples. They were handing you samples. I refined my house a bunch of times during this time to fund the project. So they're like, "Yeah, things are changing." I'm like, "I don't care. You told me that it'd be a month later, Bernie Madoff, the subprime loans, the financial world falls apart. And just like that, I'm broke. And the 3.5+ million that I put in, that I borrowed, that my investors is gone." And I went into a depression for about a year. And during that time, I
O
was
only a year.
only a year, believe it or not. Maybe a little more than a year. But during that time, I stopped paying my mortgage. I had no money. I stopped paying my car payments. About a few months later, my son says, "Dad, look outside. They were towing away my BMW." That's how broke I was. And I never had that happen to me before. I never had a car repossessed. The house eventually got foreclosed on. But because I lived in New Jersey and there were so many foreclosures, it literally took them years till they remembered about us. Right? So here we are. It's about a year or so later. And I'm saying, "Okay, I got to figure out what I'm doing now. I got to, And I decided I didn't want to be a businessman anymore. I'd been that my whole life, which they now call entrepreneurs. Back in my day, we were businessmen. Now we're entrepreneurs, highfalutin title. And I was like, "Okay, what do I want to do?" And I looked around and I thought about my life, and what I loved doing best was helping community organizations as a leader. And people would come in and say, "But Martin, I can't do what you're doing." I said, but Yvonne, I don't need you to do what I'm doing. I want you to do what you're good at." And I realized I was coaching these people to their potential. So I looked at the coaching and I decided to become a life coach. And a little small thing happened along the way. About 2 months before it was time to start life coach training, it was my 24th wedding anniversary, and my wife gave me a very interesting gift that year. She said, "I want a divorce."
I'm sorry.
I should have said something, but I didn't get anything like that for you, but I didn't. I was like, I was knocked. To tell you the truth, I probably knew it was coming, but until it actually happens, nobody really believes that that's going to happen. And I said to myself, "Why does everything keep happening to me?" And but I made the decision that I was still going to go through with life coach training. And I think that was the turning point for me, making that decision to continue with that. Because as I started getting into life coaching, and they said to me, it doesn't matter who you think you have to be, you could be whoever you want to be. That opened the doors for me and gave me the ability to search within myself and realize when I was saying things like, why does everything keep happening to me? That was me looking to blame everybody else. And now I say things happen through me. Good or bad, they happen through me.
It's funny because I had almost a similar experience in the sense of I bought a book that was written by Thomas Leonard about 22 strategies that, you know, life strategies that everybody should have. And I bought it for, I was teaching a community class. And so I bought it so I could give my students these strategies. And as I read it, I was like, oh my God, I need this. Oh my God, I need this. Oh my God, I need this. And at the end it said, if you want to learn how to coach, come to this free teleconference. Which is, it was like, I need all this stuff. And again, because you didn't have to have the answers, you just had to ask the right questions, right, which for me was a total turnaround. I think, you know, one of the things that we very much have in common from what you said is that it's really important to be able to do something where you can be yourself. There's so many societal kinds of constructs around us all the way from childhood, all, you know, with the limiting beliefs and stuff like that. And it's like, I heard somebody say the other day, there are two kinds of people in the world, people who go, you know, what happened to me, and people who go, what can I make happen? And I think that that is, you know, a mindset shift that you need. And we get them in the weirdest places. One of the biggest places that I got a mindset shift was Ted Lasso. I don't know if you've ever heard that, seen that show.
I have. I love it.
But there's also a podcast that goes with that called What Would Ted Lasso Do? And it's got a positive psychology coach and a leadership coach. The show is only 30 minutes. The podcast is like 90 minutes. But it's like, you know, it has changed my life. I mean, just to say to myself, don't be judgmental, be curious.
Wow.
Just that simple a thing.
Right, right. And for me, I look at it as when I'm doing my workshops, okay, one of the things I say to the people right at the beginning is I want you to ask yourself a question, but be careful how you ask the question. I don't want you to ask, does this apply to me? Change it just a little bit and say, how does this apply to me? By saying, does this apply to me? You're giving yourself a one-word answer, yes or no. How does it apply to me is an open-ended question that gives you the ability to then say, okay, let's see where we're going from here. It's like saying, I can't. Instead, what you should be saying is, how can I?
Right, right. So just, you know, something that we've never talked about on this podcast is the difference between closed questions and open-ended questions. And the quality of the response that you get when you have an open-ended question. So can you talk a little bit about that and how entrepreneurs can use that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So very often, especially entrepreneurs, and I say that the difference between a good entrepreneur and a great entrepreneur, or a bad entrepreneur and a good and great entrepreneur, is are you a leader or are you a boss? Right? The bosses are the ones that ask the closed-ended questions. Did you do this? Right? The leader is someone who says, how did it go when you did this? How was it? Right?
Or even better, before it starts, you say, how would you do this?
Right, right. Sure, absolutely. How would you do this? Exactly. Or instead of saying, do this, which is not even a question. Do this exactly as I tell you, which is really micromanagement saying, if you don't do it exactly as I'm telling you, then you're not doing it.
Well, you know, my thing is, I always say, entrepreneurs have the knack of bringing in great quality, and then they micromanage them into mediocrity.
Right, exactly. So that's the difference. That's when you become either a leader or a boss. And the leader is looking to be inclusive of everybody ask questions of everybody that invoke deep thought responses, not yes or no answers. That's a closed question. A closed end question is yes or no. It's did you? It's instead the open-ended questions are how did this come? What, how did you do this? Why, what was the reason for this? So that they go so further. And then you go and how did you feel about that? And, or what was the end result of that? Or things that invoke thoughtful answers.
My favorite question is tell me more.
Tell me more. That's a perfect one.
Do you know? Because that way it doesn't color the answer one way or the other.
Right.
And you know, you can get clarification and then you can ask like specific questions, which reminded me when we were talking about this, you know, one of the first, I mean, the fastest way to use this is in your marketing. If you say to somebody, do you need this? Then their answer is yes or no. Do you know? But if you say to them, how many times have you struggled with, or how many different ways have you tried to get this done?
Right.
Then you get them thinking about and saying, oh, you know, I've done this several times. Maybe I need to find another way to do it. Right. So
exactly.
before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we have plenty of time to talk about your free gift and your, you know, action steps that you've got for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So you when we were talking before and you said, you know, three points or something. And what made me think of is something that's in my what I started with was a coaching program that was about helping people shift their mindset from lack to abundance and all that stuff, which is very important in whatever you're doing. And I've incorporated it into my new program. So recently I came up with something specifically for entrepreneurs. It's called the three steps, the secrets, three-step framework for a sustainable, thriving business.
Mm.
Coaching business, it could be for anything. And it comes from something that's a mindset based that is in my book. And I call it the cycle of A's. Okay. And the cycle of A's takes something that is a little woo woo in the world and makes it a little more practical, which is the law of attraction.
Okay.
Right. People go, oh, that's all woo woo stuff. You think about it and it happens. And the people that don't really understand it, they go, oh, you know, I did the law of attraction. It didn't work because they're thinking very linearly. They're thinking, okay, I think about it and it didn't happen. And that's where the cycle of A's comes in. So for me, the cycle of A's are three letter A's that, you know, the people that are here, they can go to my site, which we'll tell you about later, to download some things, right? And one of them is the cycle of A's. And on it, it shows it in a perpetual emotional cycle. The first A is ask. Ask God, ask the universe for what you want. And that could be as simple as, I just came up with an idea. That's an ask, right? But if you just think about it and do nothing about it, and then 3 years later, you see it on TV and go, oh my God, I thought about doing that.
Yeah.
Right? How many of us have been there?
I've been there.
Right? So that's where the next A comes in, act. Start working towards getting that ask. Oh, I came up with an idea. Well, what would it look like? How would it become about? What are the steps that need to happen? And start putting it into motion. And then the last A is really where the rubber meets the road. That's a good way to put it. And it's have an attitude of I don't care about the outcome emotionally. Right? Because if you care so much about the outcome, that's where that lack mentality comes in and throws everything out. So now this is in my program for anybody for thinking about it in that way, you know, in their life. So then I said, okay, let me turn around and put it into business terms. So ask, clarify what you truly desire for your business, set your intention, and get specifics on your goal, define your vision for your business, be specific about the revenue you want, the number of clients, and the kind of impact you want to make. And it goes a little further than that. Then the act is move from intention to implementation. This is where the magic happens. Remember that the universe isn't Santa Claus. You know, you have to take actions. Then you implement it, break out of your comfort zone and adjust as needed. Right. And then the third one is attitude. Let go of the emotional attachment to the outcomes and staying positive regardless of the results. Detach from the outcome after putting it in the effort. It's important to let go of any attachments, cultivate it positively, and maintain that mindset of abundance. And then it goes a little further, but you get the overall gist of it.
Well, the things that you're saying are so important. I mean, one of my kind of philosophies is, that you grow in leadership. Unfortunately for entrepreneurs, they tend to go right into kind of leadership and management of a project or whatever their skills is. And they don't spend enough time in kind of the personal development space, because you need that when you move from projects to managing and leading other people.
Right.
So it's kind of like they feel like they're going backwards. What's that kind of thing. But I think, the way that I describe a lot of what you're saying, don't get attached to the specific outcome, is I say to people, one of the biggest thing mindset that helped me is I used to think that success was kind of a binary choice. You did something, you either succeeded or you failed. And what I found when I looked at that was things that I thought I didn't know that I could succeed in, I didn't do.
Right.
Now, because I was brought up to be, you need to be the best, you need to be at the top of the class, you need to be, and so
you need
what
to
I
be
found,
perfect.
Yes. And so I find so many people are practicing to be perfect, that they never get anything done. And I went through that stage myself. Everything that I talk about, I've done. So, now I know that it's you take an action, you either succeed or you fail. Either way, you need to evaluate, why did I succeed? Why did I fail? Make adjustments and do it again. So my new motto is fail forward faster.
Right. I love it.
Because if I'm failing forward faster, it means I'm doing something and I'm making progress. And that's really what it's about. And I think the other thing is, a typical place where people want instant results is, they go networking thinking they're going to get a client. And you don't. That's not the purpose of networking. If you go networking and you say, I never got a client, it's because that was not where you were going to find a client. What you're going to find is connection and community who's going to attach you to places and people where your clients might be.
Referrals, referral partners.
Yeah. And so I find, one of the things that I get, I think is, I feel like everybody, I hope that everybody that I meet and talk with leaves better off than when they met me.
Right, right. Right,
and
exactly.
So, my goal is not focused on me. My goal is how can I support you? Right.
Yeah.
And it takes all the pressure off and it, that kind of thing. So, we've talked about a lot of stuff. The one thing I kind of wanted you to talk a little bit more about was, let's talk about money and the scarcity mentality, because that, that and the idea that I'm not worth it, or, because when you talk with a coaching client that's in business, they're always underpricing.
Yes, because they don't believe in themselves enough, right? So that whole money thing comes from the mindset of I'm not worth it, or the lack, or I don't deserve it, right? Well, why should I have it, right? Instead of why shouldn't I have it? Why can't I have it, right? And it's understanding that you're looking at things with the glass half full, half empty, excuse me, instead of looking for it as being full, not even half full, full, and that there's more that can come.
And I think that's one of the differences between attracting the right client and trying to sell somebody.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you need my service, but if you are putting yourself out there so that the things that you're doing, people go, that's an interesting person, I think I'd like to talk to them more, and you're attracting them, right? By the time they become clients, they already know what your value is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I think one of the best things, that can happen to two good things. One of the best things that can happen to somebody is you're talking to somebody and before you finish, they go, I want to work with you. How much, tell me what I need to do.
And Right.
I mean, it's just an amazing kind of thing, right? And then the other thing is, I don't think that we entrepreneurs know that we can say no.
Yeah.
This is not a good person to work with, and it could be for a variety of reasons. Not that they're not a good person, but
Not a good fit.
it's not a good fit.
Right.
You're not at the right point in your business. Whatever the case may be, you can't put food on your table, so you don't need to buy a $25,000 program. I mean,
Right.
it could be a whole lot of different things, and I think that we go through, and I jokingly call it entrepreneurial prostitution. It's where you're trying to get cash flow, and your mindset is, I can do anything if the price is right. Which dilutes what you really do well. And
Yes.
it also, if you get a client that's not the right client, it will suck the life out of you and they will never be happy.
That's so true.
You could have two or three clients that are ideal, and put in less energy than you put into somebody who is that you are just like.
Banging your head against the wall.
I jokingly said a long time ago when I first started, for some reason I attracted a lot of male tech guys.
Okay.
And I loved them because they always paid in full. They always showed up on their time, for their coaching on time. But every time I brought something up, it was like, oh, I read a book on that. I read a book on that. And I was like, but did you do it?
Right,
It
exactly.
was like when it was over, it's like, thank God this is over. So I think I think some of the things that we're talking about is if you don't, this is my $40 best advice I ever got from my therapist. She said, if you don't ask for what you want, you're going to be uncomfortable and you're going to be disappointed a lot.
Right.
If you ask for what you want, you will still be uncomfortable, but you will get it a lot more often.
So well put, well put.
And for me, the whole concept was that I didn't want to be uncomfortable. And then I realized I was going to be uncomfortable either way.
Well
So,
put.
okay. So
Yeah.
there's going to be a link in the notes where you can get this great, great gift.
Right.
Also, Martin does a workshop every month, so you want to go to that as well. Okay, Martin, when was the last time you did something new for the first time?
When was the last time I did something new for the first time? Oh my goodness. Well,
Good.
last week I was on vacation. We went to San Antonio, Texas in the middle of January, and it was cold there, and they actually had a snowstorm of a half an inch. Well, I'm like, okay, so big deal.
Is for them.
And we went to the Alamo,
Oh.
right? And for me, I love learning about stuff. And what I learned there was that right near San Antonio is the first Six Flags of in America. So anybody that doesn't know, Six Flags is a theme park. In New Jersey, they call it Great Adventures, but Six Flags. And do you know why it's called Six Flags?
No.
Okay, and neither did I. Okay, and I learned because Texas has been ruled by six different countries.
Okay.
All right, Spain, France, Mexico. Those are the three easy ones, and America are the four is the fourth easy one. The last two are going to surprise you. Number five is Texas was a country from when they lost the Alamo, and a month later they beat the Mexicans in 1836 for 10 years, 1845, 9 years, whatever. Then Mexico was coming after them. They go, we don't want to be with you. We'll become part of America. So in 1845, they became a state in the Union. And then the last one was they seceded with the rest of the Confederate states. So they were under the Confederate States of America, which made for number six.
So that's why they're always saying they're leaving. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Okay, guys. Before we run out of time, I need to wind this up. And so If you haven't done it already, I need you to subscribe and share this, and to engage on social media. And this is designed to help you supercharge your business through connection. This is my way of giving back to the community and introducing people to you and ideas that's going to help to you to fuel your quest for growth and impact. And I hope you will join me on the One Small Change and on a regular basis. And if you haven't gone to the first page, you'll see all the people that have been kind enough to give their time and energy to this endeavor. And so, Martin, what are your last words? What do you want people to take away?
What I'd like for them to take away is consider putting into action the cycle of ACE. Ask, act, and attitude. And you can go to the, you know, you'll be able to go to the show notes, click on the link and find the link there. You know, it'll take you to download a little deeper of what we talked about ask, act, and attitude in the cycle of ACE.
That is so fantastic because in the age of information, it's not just information you need. You need to know how to apply it and implement it.
Right.
So, guys, our time is up. And as I always say, remember, change is simple, but it's not always easy. It requires resilience and courage and a willingness to step outside your comfort zone. And so I hope you will take a few minutes every week to join me for the One Small Change as we try to, have a bold vision and do innovative possibilities. And until the next time, I will see you then. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Yvonne. It's been a pleasure to be here.